Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org in partnership with traditionalamericanmovement.com. Our phone number tonight is 718-305-7176. And I'm just going to remind you all that we're getting to tax time again. And I know you're all so excited to be getting your forms in the mail and getting your papers together and trying to figure out what we do or do not owe Uncle Sam, and then hoping and praying that they don't come to audit us and try to take our house and our car and our life away. Well, tonight I have a very special guest who's going to talk to us about a way that we can actually eliminate the IRS from our lives and get rid of the threat and the fear and the paperwork that comes every year at tax time. And I have with me tonight Dave Armstrong, who is from Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he is what I would consider an expert on the fair tax, as he's been studying it for multiple years. And also, I want to make a real quick special announcement. I do have a new co-host for Women Patriots, and it is Barbara Buffing. So I'd like you all to welcome her to the Women Patriots team. So at this point in time, I'm going to go ahead and bring on Dave, and he's going to try to educate us all on about the fair tax. And we want you all to call in with your questions, 718-305-7176. Hey, Dave, you're live and on the air.
Well, hi, Brenda and Barbara. Thanks a lot for inviting me. This is a first-time experience for me to do a blog radio show. I have been interviewed on radio before. Some of you who are in the Fort Wayne area may have heard me with Pat Miller on his show on WoWo. All of those that I did in studio. I prefer it that way. This is the first time I've been on a blog radio station, so I feel blessed that you've invited me. I will make a comment, though, Brenda. You called me an expert, and in my field of work, we have a definition for that. An X is a has-been, and a spurt's a drip under pressure. So I hope I don't equal that kind of definition. Tax is pretty interesting. Topic. And before we get into that, I'd like to give you a little bit of an update on where we're standing. Now, I hope your audience has knows a little bit about fair tax. If not, I'm going to go through where they can find out about it, the best places to do their research, how they can save time and really get right down, drill down to the real important factors of fair tax. But first and foremost, your audience needs to understand that fair tax is not some crazy idea. It's not some right-wing conspiracy. It's actually a bill in Congress, and it's been there since 1999. Every time Congress goes into session, every 2 years, they reintroduce any bills that didn't get passed or discussed in the previous session. So in just the last week, the 113th Congress convened in Washington, and on the 3rd of January, the bill H.R. 25 in the House of Representatives was again introduced with the largest number of first-day co-sponsors ever, number 53. So all bills have to have a sponsor, and then co-sponsors sign on to say they accept that position. They promote that permission. They support that position. So that's a pretty good number. Now, it's up to 57. I just checked on it today. Last year it was 70. Now, what we're seeing here, and we will see it for the next 3 months or so, is the, first of all, the immediate absence of those who were not reelected, who were sponsors, or and some of them were not reelected for good reasons. Dan Burton, for instance, was our congressman in the 5th District. He retired. He's been a long-time fair tax co-sponsor. And, of course, Mike Pence of the 6th District is now our governor, and so he is not there either. From what I understand, both of those positions were taken by two very very good, very qualified people, very conservative folks. And to be truthful with you, I haven't had a chance to talk with them yet, but I do plan on it. They are on my agenda. And so in the next few months or so, you'll see that number climb from 57 co-sponsors, probably 75, maybe 80 or so. Now, being a bill in Congress is a very interesting thing because it's very accessible. And I'm going to talk to you a bit about how to access it. But how do you get the thing passed? That's the big thing. And we have a project going on now at Fair Tax, and we're pushing very hard on it in the next 3 months. It is the Passionate Patriots 3000. What we're looking for are 3,000 patriots in every congressional district in the 435 congressional districts of this country. Now, a congressional district consists of somewhere between 500,000 and 1,000,000 citizens. In the state of Indiana, we have 9 congressional districts. The average population in each district is around 709,000. Excuse me, in Indiana, it's about 720,000. In the United States, total, it's around 709,000. So if you look at the numbers, 709 or 710,000 people average in each district, and we're looking for 3,000 folks. Now, why 3,000? Well, in an off-year election, which 2014 will be, it is over 90% of those 435 congressional districts were won by less than 3,000 votes. Over 90% of them, less than 3,000 votes. So the challenge is to find 3,000 new voters or change the minds of 3,000 repeat voters to vote for the guy who supports the fair tax. This puts a lot of heat on Congress, and it has a positive effect. It's amazing what personal opinion or the population opinion means to congressmen. I have a little short story here, and it's a true story. Back in 2009, if you remember, when the mortgage things went bad, somebody was jumping up and down on the floor of the Chicago Stock Exchange screaming, "We ought to have a tea party." And then that's how we all started, getting interested in and aware and informed about our government. And town hall meetings started that summer, spring and summer. And at that time, we had a congressman in the 3rd District, Mark Souter, multiple-term congressman, who held his town meeting in the IPFW auditorium. That held about 16,000 people, 1,600 people, excuse me, 1,600 people. And I was fortunate enough to be the 5th or the 6th person up to the mic to ask a question. And so I sort of laid out a little bit about, you know, what fair tax is, assuming maybe the audience didn't know it, but a lot of them were hooping and hollering, so the word has gotten around. And then I made a statement to the congressman saying, here are the people that support it, just a list of a few, Mike Pence, Dan Burton, a few others. And then here's a list of the people who have gone on record to oppose the fair tax. Nancy Pelosi, Henry Waxman, Barney Frank, Charlie Rangel, and you. And when I said that, the crowd just went hushed. Now, when I said the other names, they were booing. But when I said Mark Souter, they gasped in disbelief that a conservative was not supportive of the fair tax. Now, fast forward for 6 months. I get a call, and me and 4 of my fair tax friends were summoned to Mark Souter's office here in Fort Wayne, where he announced to us that the next day in Washington, he was going to become a co-sponsor of Fair Tax. and he invited us into his office to have a little discussion about it so that we could help him with his with the talking points. Now, I didn't do that, because I'll tell you why. Because I asked him, Mr. Congressman, what changed your mind? And he said, well, up until that town hall meeting 6 months ago, maybe less than a half a dozen people talked to me about it in a year's time. But since that town hall meeting, I have been inundated with hundreds of calls and letters and discussions at town hall meetings and so on. So I decided to check it out, and I talked to some of the colleagues in Washington that were co-sponsors. And even though I don't totally understand it, I understand it enough to know that it's the right thing to do. And then he started asking us questions. Now, here's the point of that story. It has nothing to do with me. The point is this. He said hundreds of people, not thousands of people, hundreds of people were calling him and asking him to support the fair tax. And that's what made him move. It takes 3,000 people to overturn an election in any congressional district to change the course, and less. And with him, it took less, you know, hundreds of people. So sharing that with your audience just to let you know that one person can make a difference, even an old guy like me. So anybody can do this, and anybody can get involved. And one of my requests this evening is to get folks involved. And I have a few things that I'd like you to know about. So anyways, before I start in with fair tax, what it is, how it works, and so on, is there something that you'd want to interject, Brenda?
Well, yeah. Actually, I'm just going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back and get more into what the fair tax is. But it sounds like what we need is just a few activists to actually get involved that we could actually make this happen in Congress. And we'll get more into that after we come back from the break. And we want to remind you to join Chris Ricketts for the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Chris isn't afraid to wave the banner of Christianity in a world becoming hostile to biblical principles. Actually, former Marines aren't afraid of anything, are they? Join Chris to talk about Christianity, the Holy Bible, and God's perpetual plan for mankind's salvation. And he might also talk about his time in the Commandant's Own Marine Drum and Bugle Corps in Washington, D.C. The Washington Warrior Catholic Show is with Chris Ricketts, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. You're listening to Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, The Beauty and the Brain, on conservativenationradio.org.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning?
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny. Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped around.
Chris, conservativenationradio.org, traditionalamericanmovement.com. The number to call in is 718-305-7176. And tonight we have a special guest, Dave Armstrong, here to talk about the fair tax. So, Dave, we are back. So can you just tell us what the fair tax is? Assume that somebody doesn't, has never heard of it.
Right.
Can you just let us know what is this fair tax?
All right. In just simple terms, all fair tax is a new tax code that replaces our existing tax code. It repeals income tax and all the taxes on income, payroll tax, capital gains tax, the whole nine yards. I'll get into the list of that. And it replaces it with a national sales tax. So in simple terms, we have a tax system now that is taxed on workers, people that make a paycheck. People that don't work are taxed less or not taxed at all. Warren Buffett gets a salary, a modest one for what he does, of around $100,000, not a lot for a man of his wealth. But his real wealth is made on dividends, which is at 15% capital gains tax. These things are starting to change. But with fair tax, it's simply a tax on consumption. Now, when you tax consumption, you're taxing everyone who buys something. You're not asking them where they're from, or what church they go to, what income level they're at, who do they make contributions to, or all the other things that you find on your tax form. They just say, here is the bill for the item or service that you want to purchase, and that bill includes a tax. Our state sales taxes are very much that way. Here in Indiana, it's 7%. So you go to buy something for a dollar, and you take it to the cash register, they'll charge you $1.07. They'll give you a receipt that says 7 cents was for the state and the dollar was for them. What they don't tell you is all the hidden taxes that are in that dollar, the embedded taxes that are put there because of our income tax system. So, again, a simple way of stating fair tax is that it is a national sales tax on everything that is purchased in the United States, and it replaces all the existing taxes that we have now.
Dave, does that include the gasoline tax?
Yeah.
Well, now, I have a quick question on that, though. That the fair tax is more along the lines of what the Constitution originally wanted the taxes to be. Is that correct?
That is correct. I have a list here of things that I'm going to suggest that folks do to find out about fair tax. And if you got paper and pencil, or in tape and pen, you may want to write these things down.
I will in 1 second. And we also have a caller on the line, Danny. He wanted to talk as well. But, okay, go ahead. I do have my pen and paper.
I'm going to go through a list here, so it's going to take a little time. All right.
Okay.
There's two things that I'm encouraging folks to do. First of all is to educate themselves on what fair tax is. And the second thing is to take action, get in the game. So let's talk about education first. The first thing I suggest you do is read the Constitution. Particularly Article 1, Section 8, which are the 18 enumerated powers granted by the states to the federal government.
Right.
The first clause of that is the first of two places that you can find in the Constitution originally written about the taxation powers of the federal government. And it says Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises. And that was the main thing, duties, imposts, and excises. I have the whole thing right here. Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. So when you read that, and you read it again and again, it comes to you all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute. The only power that Congress was given, the power to tax, was duties, imposts, and excises. And why? Because they repeated it. Duties are import and export charges. Products that are coming in or leaving our country. Imposts is a form of an import tax, like a tariff. And excise taxes are like that gas tax you mentioned, are taxes that on products that are made and usually consumed here in the United States. So gasoline taxes, alcohol taxes, tobacco taxes, that's where it started. Anything on energy, luxury taxes, there's quite a few. If you look at the 2012 breakdown of taxes collected, you will find that the the Duties, Imposts, and Excises group collected 8.8% of the taxes, that they made up for 8.8% of the taxes collected. The rest of it was income taxes. Now, we didn't get an income tax till about 100 years ago, actually, 1913, when the 16th Amendment was adopted, and that opened the door to income tax.
Excuse me. Okay. So would that mean that we would have to remove the 16th Amendment to do the fair tax?
Good question. No, we don't. The 16th Amendment gives permission, but it's not the law. It's not the law that says there will be income tax. It says there shall be. So that's the third place where taxes are mentioned. And it says, I'm trying to find it here, 16th Amendment says the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on income from whatever source derived. That means it could be your kid's lemonade stand. Without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration, which means it could be up to 100% of what you of your profits. There's no limits on it. That's the biggest blank check ever written in the world. It's also the official declaration of class warfare in America.
Mm-hmm.
Plato said that when there's an income tax, a just man will pay more and an unjust less on the same amount of income. And so that's where we sit.
And isn't it amazing that someone like Plato knew that all those years ago?
It's unbelievable how much history we have here. If you've ever read the book 5,000 Year Leap, it talks about the knowledge of human behavior that was known so many centuries, eons ago. There was a, I'm fishing through my email here for a minute, looking for something I was going to talk about here. Yes, here we go. I talk about 8.8% came in from import duties, imposts, excise taxes, and federal earnings and miscellaneous. So when the feds claimed something or earned something, an international way that was tossed in there. 8.8%. The individual income tax, corporate income tax, estate and gift taxes was 57.2%. Then the payroll tax was Social Security and payroll tax for Medicare, unemployment insurance, and other retirement programs was 34%. So the income tax group of 57.2 and the payroll tax group, entitlement group of 34.2 zero, the areas that the fair tax would replace. Now, you got your pencil out there, I want you to write something down. Okay. First of all, read the Constitution. Second of all, visit www.fairtax.org, not .com, .org. Fairtax.org is one of the primary sources of research for me. It is riddled with so many excellent pieces of research. A lot of the little tidbits that I throw out in my presentations come from there. The next thing I would like you to write down. Oh, by the way, when you go to fairtax.org, and do visit that, do go there. The first thing you're going to see at the entry page is request to join up. Join up if you like. Join up later. Join up now. But also on there is a video called "Fire Up Our Economic Engine." It's very powerful. It's good to watch. Also, the first thing I would do if I were you after watching that video is to click on the FAQ. There are 50 frequently asked questions. Mm-hmm. And not only are they listed, but there's a video for every one of them. So if you want to be lazy like I was the first time I did it, I just clicked on the video and sat back and watched these things. They were anywhere from a minute and a half to 2.5 minutes long, explaining each question that was asked. Most of what you need to know about fair tax is on that FAQ. So if you don't hear it from me tonight, go there. And most likely the questions that roll around in your head now or a little later after this call is over, you'll get them answered right there. The next one to write down is FearTaxDave.com. That's me.
We've got that.
Yeah. Well, what I have there is a common man's perspective of fair tax. I like the website FearTax.org, but I recognize that it is a repository of information that you have to go search. It's not a story. So I wrote a 11 chapters, basically, in my website of how I interpreted the fair tax and how it sort of pieced together with me in studying the studying of the bill itself and how it was outlined, and then how that related to modern day. I put my opinion in there as well, and I kept referring to fairtax.org as the original source. But I think it's a good read, not to pat myself on the back, but I could have done worse. Next place to go is fairtaxnation.com. Now, fairtaxnation.com is a national source of educational and promotional materials. They will help you set up your own little group, if you like. If you are interested in bumper stickers or T-shirts or things like that, they can help you find them and supply them to you. They can also help you with education. If you have a question like, well, gee, what did the events of last week, how would that have an effect on fair tax? Well, you can ask them, and they'll be able to tell you. So it's a good source of information. The next thing to do is, you write these down, Fair Tax Book and Fair Tax the Truth. These are two books that were written by John Linder, who was a congressman of Georgia up until a couple years ago when he retired, and his friend Neil Bortz, who was a talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Fair Tax Book is white with an IRS with a big red circle and a line through it. It was written in 2005, and it was in the number one bestseller list for about 30-some months, or 30-some weeks. And so it was pretty good. And then it started catching on, and people started saying, gee, this is really something good. And it got a lot of flack, a lot of folks who didn't like it because it didn't match their agenda. Started telling lies about it. Let's be frank, that's what happened. They were trying to smear it. So they thought that in 2008, let's put out a book, Fair Tax, the Truth, to dispel all those lies, those misinformation that was being spread around. Now, the funny thing about it is when they wrote the first one, they decided who's going to buy a book about taxes. So they signed away all of the profits to it to a couple of charities of their favorites. And little did they know that it was made a lot of money, not for them.
So they became philanthropists.
Yeah, but their charities were very well blessed by it. Okay.
Yes.
Now, also behind the scenes, just to finish up on this book thing, behind the scenes was a guy named Rob Woodall, who was the chief of staff for John Linder. Rob Woodall ran for Linder's seat in 2010 and won, and he is now the sponsor of Fair Tax in the House of Representatives. And he's won his second term. The last thing that I have for you to put on your list, and I want to spend some time on this, but let me just say it, and then I know there's a question that you've got there, Brenda. The last thing is read the bill. Read Bill H.R. 25. Now, there's people in Washington that we send there that are elected to do their job. They don't read bills. They have their aides read them and put them in summary form, but they don't read the bills. We're fortunate here in District 3 to have one who did. And Marlon Stutzman, the first thing he did when he got to Washington in 2010 was become a co-sponsor. And the first thing he did when he showed up on the 3rd of January was become a co-sponsor again. So he believes in it, and he preaches it. So my
word, we're pretty blessed.
Yeah, my work is done, you might say, in where I live. I need to expand beyond those bounds. Now, it has yet to be formally announced, Brenda, but I have been appointed the state director for fair tax for the state of Indiana. So I'm going to be traveling quite a bit, and hopefully in these other districts, the rest of the 9 districts in Indiana, trying to get folks to get involved and get a hold of their congressman. You have a question looming, I sense.
Yes, but first let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. We're going to bring on Danny Shouts. He does have a question for you, and we'll start taking questions for the audience at 718-305-7176. We'll be right back.
Real women, real ladies with real smarts. You're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. We do conservatism right.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Adkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero, but Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
And welcome back to B&B Women and Patriots on conservativenationradio.org and in partnership with the traditionalamericanmovement.com. We have Dave Armstrong, what I would consider an expert on the fair tax. The number to call is 718-305-7176. And right now we're going to be bringing on Danny Shouse because he has a question. Hey, Danny.
Hello.
How are you?
All right. How y'all doing tonight?
I'm doing good. What question do you have for Dave?
Well, I don't really have a question. I'm just a big supporter of the fair tax. And also wanted to add that it doesn't apply to used items.
Oh, well, that's good to know. That was actually on my list of questions.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Danny. Where are you from, Danny?
Kentucky.
Hey, there you go. Any fair tax activity down there?
A little bit. And I like it. It does away with the IRS. And being a small business owner, paperwork's a nightmare for me because I'm not a paperwork kind of guy.
Fair tax would get rid of over 90% of the paperwork that small businesses have to go through. And it changes the relationship totally. Is your small business at the customer level, at the retail level?
No.
Okay, so you make a you make a product and you supply it to another company who takes it and assembles it into something else?
Yeah, I'm owner-operator. I own my own semi.
So, you own your own
semi. Okay, so you provide a service.
Yes, I provide a service.
Okay, so you're not selling to the end user or to the consumer. You are selling company to company as a transporter. So you would have no taxes at all. As everyone should know, businesses don't pay taxes. They collect taxes. And those taxes are collected because they add it to their price or they take it out of their profits. But one way or the other, they are collecting taxes. So under fair tax, the only people that pay the tax are at the consumer, the end user, at the end of the line. Everything else that happens in between, from raw materials through process, through transportation, wholesale, distribution, all that other stuff, where that's where you are, Danny, in that group of between wholesale and distribution and so on. You don't pay tax.
Yeah.
You carry a license and you just don't pay any tax on it. You're not collecting any tax. So it's a dream come true for folks like you, Danny. It's just beautiful. And by the way, let me say something. I am not a truck driver, and I didn't play one on TV, but I had a good friend out in Denver, Colorado, when I lived out there many years ago, who was a truck driver, and he snuck me on his truck, and we did a run from Denver up to someplace in Wyoming and back. And that one little trip, overnighter, just gave me the world of respect for truck drivers. What you guys have to go through, and I'll tell you something, 95% of the products that we buy in our stores wouldn't be there if it wasn't for you.
Yes, I know.
And we appreciate it. We really do.
Also, by doing away with the IRS, they can't say, oh, you made a mistake on your return 5 years ago, and with interest and penalties, you owe us $12,000.
That's right. Exactly right. It does get rid of the IRS, and then in the bill, it shows you how that's done. Basically, they defunded after 3 years. They let the IRS stick around for 3 years after fair tax is enacted. The activity of the IRS is limited to finishing up the previous year of active income tax returns, and then any open cases, they will work on those. But at the end of 3 years, they have to pass over any open case to the U.S. Treasury. They have to totally destroy all records of closed cases on every income tax file that they've got, turn out the lights, lock the door, and leave. That's it. And it's nice the way it's said in the bill.
That would be awesome. Just think of all the money we would save just with that, with all the people that are, employed in this extortion business that is called the IRS.
That's exactly what it is.
So
it's invasion of privacy. It is a power that was never intended to be given in the Constitution, or the power of tyranny, tax tyranny, and that's what it is. Remember, we started our nation because of taxes. You know, we started as a tax revolt. Right? And the spark that did it, this is a little bit of current day information here, current events. The spark that started the Revolutionary War was not over taxes. It was over the British coming to take our guns.
Amen.
A little slice of history. Okay, thank you, Danny. I appreciate your call.
Yeah, and Danny, do you want to just go on hold? Are you traveling or?
I'll just go on hold and listen.
Okay, all right. I'm going to put
all
you
right.
there.
Thanks, Dan.
And we have another caller, Dave, with another question, and this is Uncle Bing. Hey, Bing.
Hey, Brenda, how you doing? Hey, Dave, nice to have you on.
Thanks,
I'm actually
right?
a, co-show host with Michael on Subject of Patriotism on the same network here on Sundays. But I've got a couple questions. I met a man in Florida years ago, about 15, 17 years ago. I think he was based out of St. Peter, Clearwater, Florida. I can't remember his name at the time, and he was trying to do a fair tax deal back then, and a very knowledgeable man, and basically way involved with him and how he explained it to me at that time, and it was a very roughshod organization, and, you know, so he was very ground level boots on thing. And he was saying, okay, all right, you have a certain amount up to a certain percentage that each company that makes a widget or a service that goes into the production of anything, okay, gets taxed at a certain level. And then it's capped on certain high expenditure items like automobiles and, you know, maybe air conditioners and so on. And I'm trying to... At that point in time, it was a little confusing because it was a very new reality to me, you know. And then Herman Cain came out with his 999 plan and so on, and that made a little bit more sense. But I'm trying to figure out what is the difference between this and really a VAT tax, a value-added tax.
A VAT tax or a value-added tax is tax on a portion of a product in the process of being manufactured, going from company to company, that the company added value to. So if you take a guy who supplies raw materials, you know, digs coal out of the ground or iron ore or whatever, he adds tax for what he's done. But the guy who buys it and then converts it into raw steel in bars and so on, he doesn't charge his customer the price of the raw material goods, because that tax has already been collected. So he only charges for his value added to the process of manufacturing the part. And it goes all the way down to the guy who makes the car and sells that. Now, the VAT tax has been active in Europe for, you know, since 1960 or so. In 1962, as an example, Denmark instituted a VAT tax of 9%. By the year 2000, or a little bit less than that, it was up to 25%. That tax is a stranglehold. It is a hidden tax. It's something that we don't want, because it's taxed at every level of manufacture. Every time a part is sold to the next company to do something with it, to add something to it, to forward it on, a tax is entered in. Much like what we have right now in our embedded taxes, of payroll taxes and income taxes that companies pay, the matching payroll taxes, they're passed on to the next guy and the next guy. And eventually the consumer pays all taxes. The fair tax is only at the retail level and only on first-time purchase of items or services. Now, all services are first-time purchase. There's no such thing as a used haircut. But there is such a thing as a used car. And a used car doesn't get taxed, right, because it's already had tax collected on it once.
Right.
The whole point about fair tax is to collect tax once and only once on an item or a service. And that's it. So if you buy a previously owned home, there's no tax on that. There will be a tax on the realtor's fee, because that's the service that was provided to you. You're a consumer of that service. But the home itself and the property it sits on would not be taxed.
So are you in favor of the repeal repealment of the 16th Amendment, or at least some sort of changes there?
Yeah, and that is addressed in the bill. Bill H.R. 25 does not repeal the 16th Amendment. There is another bill in the House called the H.J.R., that's House Joint Resolution, between the House and the Senate, H.J.R. 16, which the moment the fair tax becomes law, H.J.R. 16 kicks in, and it starts the process to repeal the 16th Amendment. And in the last page of Bill H.R. 25, the fair tax, you will see Article 4, Section 401. There's only one paragraph. It's the last one there. And it basically says that in the time, 7 years from the time the fair tax has been becomes law, within that time frame, if the 16th Amendment is not repealed, the fair tax will end, and the federal government will be forced to find another way to tax.
Well, I'm all for it, Dave. I mean, I think that what we've got is a progressive tax. And people call things progressive. I call them digressive. Okay, and they don't do anything to progress. It's not a progressive movement. It's a degressive movement, really. So, and you know, more power to you, man. I hope you get the word out. One last thing, a lot of people here supported Herman Cain's 999 tax. How do you feel about that?
That's very simple. 999, for those of you who may not know, was 9% corporate tax, 9% income tax, and a 9% national sales tax. And it was written, and it said right out front, this is a temporary tax code to lay the groundwork for the introduction and acceptance of the fair tax. So it was, to him, an intermediate move. Now, I'll tell you right up front, 999 will turn into 2020 before it'll ever become fair tax. Because once you get something like that into Washington, D.C., they will love it. You do not want tax on income and tax on consumption at the same time. This is what's killing Europe. The VAT tax on top of their income tax, they have 50 to 60% income tax over there. It's pathetic. It is painful. It just doesn't work. And you're seeing it. Greece, look at Greece. Italy's the next, or Spain, one of those two. They're going to drop like hot rocks. So when you have a fair tax, the first thing, and here's something you may want to write down, Uncle Dan. The fair tax does four basic things. Number one, it repeals. Number two, it replaces. Number three, it rebates. And number four, it revamps. And all four of these things are written in the bill in that order, and all four of these things must be understood as how they affect one another. It's like putting a four-piece puzzle together. You're not going to understand the picture until you get the fourth piece in place. Repeal means you repeal all taxes on income, personal as well as business. Okay. Number, and then the next is replace. You replace it with a national sales tax. One rate, everybody pays it. Doesn't matter if you're an American citizen, a foreign here on visiting, on vacation, here uninvited, doesn't make any difference. You buy something that's new, product or service, you're paying the tax is built into the price. The third is rebate. For those who are American citizens living in our country, you get to a return of the tax that you're going to pay, the fair tax, based on the size of your family. Nothing to do with your income, where you live, color your skin, your religious beliefs, none of that stuff. It just simply says if you're an American, you live in America, you have a valid Social Security number for you and the members of your family, and you're not in prison being taken care of by the government already, then you're eligible for a rebate. And that rebate is based on the poverty level of our country. Right now, just for round numbers, it takes $30,000. A family of four has to spend $30,000 a year just to make ends meet. That's the average across the country. It's not living high on the hog. This is just making ends meet. This is just surviving. So for the first $30,000 that you spend, which includes a fair tax, that tax would be rebated back to you at the beginning of every month. So the first $30,000 that you spend, it's tax-free. The tax that you are going to pay, you're paid in advance to have it. Now, I hope this makes sense. Read the bill, it will. Okay. Beyond that, everything that you pay, you're going to pay, everything that you buy, you're going to pay a tax on. So, this the fair tax benefits need it the most.
Well, my trepidation, Dave, and I think, I don't know if Brenda's got a commercial she's got to go to or something like that. So, Brenda, if you do, just...
We missed a break, so let me just add a quick one in here, and we'll come back to this conversation after the break.
All right, Dave.
And we're going to start this with, who knew that there was a conservative streak in the heavy metal crowd? And I'm not making it up. Neither is Christopher Manti. Join Christopher every Friday right here on conservativenationradio.org for Things Not Seen at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, Christian principles, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C. Plus a bit of heavy metal rock and roll from time to time, and I can vouch for that. Things Not Seen with Christopher Manti, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. You're listening to Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, The Beauty and the Brain, on conservativenationradio.org.
Together, you and I shocked the world. Not only did we win Iowa and 10 other states, we framed the Republican message, and we showed that conservative values are alive and well all across America. And what do I call winning 11 states? Well, just the beginning. Because by staying together, you and I can amplify our voices and change America. And the top of that list, of course, is defeating Barack Obama. To accomplish all this, I'm starting a brand new organization. Patriot Voices. And once again, I'm calling on you and 1 million other patriots to join me and guarantee that our voices be heard. Our mission is clear. Fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and opportunity in America. To accomplish this, we'll mobilize our grassroots troops to help elect candidates that share our values and hold elected officials accountable for their actions all across this country. And like the founding fathers of our country, we're ready to take on the establishment or anyone else who opposes those bedrock American principles. Are you ready to join the fight to protect the sanctity of life, protect traditional marriage, return to the principles of our Constitution, restore fiscal sanity in Washington and across this country, and make America an economic and manufacturing superpower again? Then it's time you become a member of Patriot Voices. And joining couldn't be simpler. Just go to patriotvoices.com and you can instantly become a founding member of our organization. You and I weren't there for the American Revolution. We didn't write the Constitution or sign the Declaration of Independence. But let's make no mistake about it. The fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and ensure opportunity for all in America is just as critical today as it was back then. Our time in history is right now, and I hope that you'll choose to join me in this critical fight by joining Patriot Voices today. Patriot Voices, your voice multiplied by a million.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Okay, and welcome back to B&B Women Patriots on the conservativenationradio.org in partnership with traditionalamericanmovement.com. The number to call is 718-305-7176. Please call in if you have any questions. Tonight we have our special guest, Dave Armstrong, talking about the fair tax as a replacement for our current atrocity that we call a tax code. So we're back, and bing! Your next question.
Well, I don't know. Kudos to Dave for what he's doing. Being a fellow engineer, I'm in, I think, a slightly different trade. I do injection molding engineering, so it's a little bit different, I guess, from what you're doing. But, yeah, I liked your opening there with what you said. But at the beginning of the show, what I'd like to say that anything that will abolish the IRS as it stands now, okay, is a good thing. My problem that I have with any kind of new implementation of anything in Washington is how the bureaucrats set it up, because it seems that unless sane people are actually setting it up correctly, it's not going to be, it's going to include pork, it's going to include a bunch of other extraneous things that we don't need and we don't want. So that's my little trepidation with that, Dave, and maybe you might want to address that. How is that going to be handled? How are we going to make sure that the bill that comes out of the Senate and the House, I guess, it would be the same bill that was introduced?
Well, we have a senator here in Indiana named Dan Coats, and I've talked to him many times about fair tax. He doesn't support fair tax, but I know darn well that if it ever hit the floor of the Senate, he'd vote for it. His biggest argument is the argument of sausage. Whatever goes in one end comes out completely different when you're talking about bills and Congress.
Yeah,
pretty good argument. I can't argue with that. I mean, I don't think anybody.
I'm going to tell you the same thing I told him. That there is not a person in the fair tax group who supports fair tax, who understands fair tax, would tolerate a single word being changed. We want this bill to be clean. We want it to go through the House and go through the Senate the way it is written, with no revisions and no attachments to it. What do they call those things?
Earmarks.
Earmarks. Thank you very much. No, right. The moment. See, here's the whole point. The fair tax is perfectly balanced. The way it's written is perfectly balanced. You will not know that until you read it. You will not know that until you consume some information and go to the websites that I recommend. And by the way, I talk about 999 in my website, fairtaxdave.com. So you can find some more information on that there. But it's perfectly balanced. Now, with regard to the government, the founding fathers didn't trust them. Didn't trust them at all. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4 says no capitation or other direct tax shall be laid. A capitation means head. So no head tax. Or you can interpret it by saying no tax on a person or any other direct tax shall be laid. That was the reason why the income tax that was voted in 1894 was found to be unconstitutional by the Supreme Court the following year because it violated Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4. Now, it took them till 1913 to figure out, and by the way, the Supreme Court told them in 1895, the only way you're going to have income tax in this country is to change the Constitution. That's what their ruling was. And so that's exactly what the progressives did. They found a way to get the 16th Amendment ratified, which was the door opener to income tax.
Well, that's what I was trying to understand here, trying to, I guess, relate to the others, is that we need a abolishment or we need something to happen with the 16th Amendment for to happen.
Yes, right. But listen, it's a stonewall for a congressman to stand up and say, let's repeal the 16th Amendment, then we can impose a fair tax. No, it's the other way around. Fair tax, the very first thing it does is repeal all the taxes that the 16th Amendment made legal. Right? All income taxes, all payroll taxes, all corporate taxes, capital gains taxes, estate taxes, death taxes, gift taxes. Everything attached to your wealth, your worth, and your income are abolished. They're repealed. So the 16th Amendment is still there, but it's gutted. It's empty. I think we're about ready for a break.
Okay, Bing.
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, that wasn't you? Okay.
No.
Was that you, Dave?
No, it wasn't me. I was climbing off my soapbox and I tripped.
Oh.
No, you're okay there.
Actually, okay. I have a quickie question now. Do we have to go to a break, Brenda? Yeah,
no,
we do.
We're good. No, because I did a late one, so let's keep going.
Okay, thanks. Sorry, Bing. But I have a really quick question about what the money that they project that they get from us now, how is that in comparison to the fair tax?
Okay. Fair tax just changes the way we collect the same amount of income tax. Excuse me. I'll say it again. I said that wrong. Fair tax simply changes the way we collect the same amount of tax revenue. Now,
okay.
In 2009 and 2010, both of them were, we'd have to agree they were not depression, but that they were bad. They were down years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the numbers are there, and numbers don't lie. Right? And you take a look at the taxes that were collected in 2009 under the income tax system, and you make this simple calculation. If it wasn't income tax, if we didn't have an income tax, and everything was based on the amount of things that were consumed that year, purchased, new items and services, what would the fair tax have collected? Okay? No projection about how an increase in economy would be and how a decrease in unemployment, all this, no, none of that. Just saying, apples to apples, if we just took out the income tax and replaced it with a fair tax using those numbers and the activities that happened during that year, what would happen? In 2009, the fair tax would have collected $171 billion more tax.
Wow. Okay.
In 2010, another recession year, it would have collected $267 billion more tax. Now, those are big numbers. Put them in perspective. Compared to the taxes that were collected, okay, it would have been an increase of around 4 to 5%. But it would have been an increase.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got a president out there who's saying he wants to get $4 trillion off of our debt over 10 years. Okay. Well, that's $400 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, what do you think is going to happen when fair tax becomes law? It's going to collect more tax than the existing system. But what's going to happen when the unemployment goes to 4%? What's going to happen in 3 years or so, 3 to 5, where we have more jobs than we have people to fill them? Okay? What's going to happen when there is no income tax, no tax whatsoever on businesses in the United States? Where is that foreign country company going to buy or going to build their new plant? They're going to build it in America because there's no tax. And everything,
right.
And it goes on further than that. You look at all the embedded taxes that we have in our prices that we buy right now is an average of 22%. That's at retail. At wholesale, the average is around 17%. That is the amount of tax that we ship out with every product that we send overseas to our foreign customers. When you slip in fair tax, immediately the prices to our foreign customers go down 17%. That's going to make us very good-looking in the global marketplace. The opposite is true, too. Right now we have products coming into our country that the taxes have been removed by the country that came from. The VAT taxes are disappear so that they can compete against us in our taxed items here. But under the fair tax, everything is not taxed from the time it arrives in our country or built in our country until it gets to the retailer. And then the retailer applies the tax. The tax is 23% included, right? Compared to 22% that's there now, we take that 22% out and we replace it with 23%, we can quibble over a percentage. But what happens is the foreign product comes into our country and it's shipped and it's warehoused and it's distributed and it finally gets to you, the buyer, the consumer, and it 23% is applied to it, the foreign-made product, just like the 23% is applied to the American-made product. It levels the playing field on both sides, overseas and here. They are prophesizing am I saying that right? They project that GDP will grow at a rate of 7 to 10% every year for the first 10 years under fair tax. They don't dare go any further in their projections than that because they really don't understand what's going to happen in a society that has basically you've got to be flat out lazy not to find a job. All right, so you're going to have 4% or less unemployment. You're going to have the housing market booming. Everything is going to be booming. Here's the biggest difference between an income tax and a sales tax. An income tax taxes your savings. If they tax you 20% of what you earn, then that means you only have 80% of what you save. All right? They tax your savings before you even get them in your hands. In a sales tax, the tax on savings is zero. Because in order to pay a tax, you have to buy something. If you save it, you didn't buy anything. So that means you could save up for a down payment a lot faster. You could put your kids through college. I mean, there are a lot of things that you can do with your money. Money that you earn is your money. Are we needing to go?
No, I don't know what that was. But okay. I do have some questions on that just to kind of clarify that. Let me just take a quick break and we'll come right back so we get this out of the way here.
Real women, real ladies with real smart. You're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. We do conservatism right.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a... goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goats for the Old Goat.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, and you're back with B&B Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. And starting next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, we want to invite you to join Duke Brooks here on conservativenationradio.org for Radio Free America. Duke lists anti-communist among his hobbies. I don't know if he goes out picking them off one by one with his rifle. I don't know. Which is probably why NBC didn't hire him to fly a national network news helicopter. But if you love history, politics, flying, and America, check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org in partnership with traditionalamericanmovement.com. The number to call, 718-305-7176. We have Dave Armstrong with us tonight talking about the fair tax, which sounds like a pretty good deal to me. But just before the break, we were talking, Dave. So our 401k would not be taxed?
Right. Any tax-free investment that you have made after fair tax becomes law is a windfall, one-time windfall profit to you. You would not pay a tax on it. Now, right now, if you have a 401k and you draw money out of it, you've got to pay tax.
20%.
Plus, no, it's 20%.
It's considered income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me try to finish up something here. We talked about repeal. And then we talked about replacing it with a national sales tax. And then we talked a little bit about the rebate, which is based on the size of the family. So the larger the family, the more tax you get back. And you get it at the beginning of the month, not the end of the month. My wife and I are empty nesters. Right now it would be $428 for us. If we were two singles living together in our 20s, it would be half that much for each of us. So there's no marriage penalty involved. And for children, it's around $76 right now. Now, it changes every year. Every year, they look at what is the cost of living, where's the poverty level in America, and they adjust it accordingly. So you don't lose your buying power under a fair tax. It's based on percentage. So the next one, the last one, is revamp, and that's what we sort of danced around a little bit. Let me explain what revamp means. Fair tax authorizes the states to collect the tax. Now, there's 45 states out there right now that have a state sales tax, and they will tell you that their efficiency rating is over 95% on that, that they have no trouble collecting that. They have no trouble the public accepting it. Okay, it's written on the receipt right there, and in the end it's 7%. Okay, so who better to collect a state or to collect a national sales tax than the states who are already versed in doing it? And the five that do not have a state sales tax have an option. The federal government come in and do it for them. Their neighboring state will do it for them for a fee, or they can learn to do it themselves. Now, the state receives a reward for collecting the tax. But first of all, let's get to where the tax starts. The tax starts when you go in, you buy something. You, the customer, go to a cash register. Instead of paying tax out of your paycheck for the government taking out of an income, you pay your tax at the cash register when you buy something. So the person behind the cash register is the one who assesses the tax. And he's given just a very simple formula. You take cost plus profit equals your net price, and you multiply it by 1.3. And that gives you an included tax of 23%. Now, I get this question a lot. Is it 23% or is it 30%? And I tell them, yeah, it's both. It depends on which side of that cash register you're standing. If you are a customer and you buy an item that costs $1.30, you get a receipt that says 30 cents was the national sales tax. So what's 30 cents tax divided by $1.30? You can do this in your head right now. How many 13s go into 30? Two. Subtract out, you got 4. Add a 0 to it, you got 40. How many 13s go into 40? 3. So the customer sees a 23% tax. The retailer sees it as a 30% markup. Either way, it's the same 30 cents. And this is all he does. So all the suppliers he buys from, there's no tax included in anything that he buys. He's the only one who puts the tax on. And at the end of the month, he's got 15 days to send out a report and say, and the first line says, how much was your retail sales last month? And you put that number in. It says multiply by 23%. That's the tax you collected. Now subtract from that the fee for collecting tax, which for most of them are going to be $200. Be less than that if it's a very small business. It's more than that if it's a very large business. Small meaning around $4,500 or less. Large meaning $350,000 or more. But for the most of the businesses in America, it's going to be $200. Can you imagine that? Telling a businessman that here you fill out a one-page form, it takes you 15 minutes to do it, and we'll give you $200. Now, that's crazy. All right? That's why people think this thing looks too good to be true, because these are some very strange things. But there's a reason for it. First of all, a businessman should be paid for his time. Second of all, it's a contract. If he cheats, he's in trouble. And why cheat on money that wasn't yours in the first place? See, right now we have businessmen who, well, they don't have enough money left over to pay that matching payroll tax every month on their employees, so they may not do that. There's so many traps that are set by an income tax. They're all gone. It's very transparent when you deal with a fair tax. Now, that money then goes over to the state, and the state collects that from all the retailers, the national sales tax, and then they subtract 0.25% of the taxes that they collected, and they send the rest off on to the U.S. Treasury. Now, if there's any disputes, the Treasury talks to the states. If the states have any disputes with the retailers, they talk to them. But nobody talks to you. You're the customer. You paid the tax when you bought the thing. You're done. You get a receipt that says how much your government's costing you. And you think about it next time the elections come along. Now,
well, and nothing's hidden.
I love this idea, ladies, because, see, the thing is because we are so, not just in taxes, we are so far out of touch with what medical costs run. Okay, we just think we go down to, you know, if we got insurance, we'll go down to the hospital or the doctor and we pay our 15% copay or whatever. And that's what these things cost. And that's not what it is. So I think that when it gets out in your face and you know what these things cost and you know that the taxes are 75% of what you're buying or 60% of what you're buying and it's overinflated to pay for some stupid thing that the government wants to set up, then I think that's a good thing. I think it makes a consumer more in touch with reality. Don't you think so, Dave? I mean...
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it does. By the way, the tax industry in America is around $431 billion. Those are the ones that are going to be affected by fair tax. Included in that is the cost of the IRS, which is a little over $13 billion. All this money is no longer spent. That's money that's pumped into the economy in the private sector instead of going to government. Fair tax, Bill 8 or 25, is the only bill in Congress that absolutely and truly reduces the size of government by firing 144,000 IRS people. And they do it over a three-year period. Now, listen, don't cry for these folks, okay? Because this is what's going to happen. Remember, as they're losing their jobs over a three-year period, investors are coming in like crazy, building new buildings, starting new plants, needing people who understand the accountants, understands finance, understands business law, so on and so on. They're going to have plenty of places and plenty of opportunities to have a job or start their own business too. My tax man is an H&R Block kind of guy. By the way, H&R Block supports fair tax. They find it's much easier to and much safer to make money helping people learn how they can, financial consultants, how they can invest and so on, than it is the risk of doing their taxes and having to pay if something goes wrong. Now, my tax guy, he loves this. He loves fair tax. He thinks it's the greatest thing you could ever do. And there's a lot of other things involved in it.
Well, real quickly, Dave, will this tax actually apply to food?
Food, medicine, anything that's sold in America.
Okay. Now, and you might explain to people that right now you are already paying a tax on your food. Just don't see it.
There's a tax break. There was a study done in 1997 by Harvard University, and it listed out the common groups of items that are purchased or services that are purchased in the United States and how much embedded tax there is in it. Food was 23%. Building a new house was 25.5%. So that means that if you take 25.5% tax out of the construction of a home and you put 23% into it for a tax, the price of that house went down for a new house. So there's yings and yangs. On a car, for instance, it's 18%. So you buy a new car, they'll take 18% out because of the embedded taxes are removed by fair tax. But then replaced with a 23%, that new car is going to cost you a little bit more. Now, you know the car business. When the new car costs more, the used car starts to go up and cost more too. Because of market-driven cycles. But, yes, medicine, food, your essentials are there. This is the reason for the rebate. It's because we don't believe, and we never did, as a country, we never believed that essentials should be taxed. In the income tax structure, we tried to address this. We tried to address it by saying, okay, the first tax deduction you get after you add up all your income is your family, you, your spouse, your kids. You get deductions off of your income, your total income, to come down to a net income. And then you're taxed on that net income. Well, all of that was done to cushion the American public from having to pay tax on essentials. Then on top of that, they started selecting, picking winners and losers. We need the housing industry to grow, so let's put a mortgage tax deduction in there. We need something else to happen, like we want to promote solar. So if I put some panels on your roof, you'll get a tax credit. Okay. Well, this is anytime money exchanges hands more than twice, the value starts to depreciate. Right? And this is what's happening with an income tax. The efficiency of income tax is horrendous. First of all, by their own admission, the IRS has admitted that they believe that they're collecting about 76% of the taxes due. If you ran a business at a 76% efficiency rate, you'd be out of business. Now, why aren't they catching it? Well, there's a $1.2 trillion underground economy in our country. People who earn income not by a paycheck, but by cash. And I don't know if they're putting on roofs or picking fruit or whatever they're doing.
If they're doing illegal activities.
And the illegal activities, and we can get into the shady side of humanity, yeah. But none of that is being taxed. These are income tax propositions that are not being taxed and hidden from the federal government and the income tax. But under fair tax, all that is captured. Now, no, you're not capturing the sale of heroin to somebody, drug trade. But you are capturing fully the tax that they spend for food, lodging, Cadillacs, mink coats, whatever involved that they do with their ill-gotten gain. So the efficiency rates are enormous when you're dealing with a sales tax. And the other thing is this. We've got 140 million households. You take out the unemployment, and let's be kind, let's just drop it down to 120 million households that are working. That's about 10% unemployment. And then half of them don't pay income tax. All of them, if they get a job, they're paying payroll taxes. That's around 8% of their income. But half of them aren't paying income tax. So you get our government being funded by the 60 million people who are working, and 120 million people are paying payroll taxes and corporate taxes. Well, who's paying corporate taxes? Corporates and businesses only collect taxes. You and I are paying those taxes. So everybody goes out and buy something. There's that 22% embedded tax that's there that we are paying. So you get rid of all of that, and you come down to the plain fact. You work for a dollar, you earn a dollar, you get paid a dollar, you get take home a dollar, and you put it in the bank and you save a dollar. If you buy something with it, you pay tax. But if you don't buy something with it, you save it. It's yours.
Right. And that sounds good. Right. Okay, let me take a quick break, and I think we got some other callers with some more questions for you. So here we go.
All right.
You're listening to Women Patriots with Brenda Ward on conservativenationradio.org.
Went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Adkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
Okay. And this year, we're seeing many changes on conservativenationradio.org. But on Sunday, we have still Michael B. and Uncle Bean Fisher with Soldiers of Patriotism, Not Changing Times, still on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. A new year, a new schedule on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And you are listening to B&B Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org with the traditionalamericanmovement.com. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. We have special guest Dave Armstrong, who is a proponent of the fair tax, which is sounding better and better the more he speaks. And right now we're going to bring on Virginia, because Virginia has a question. Hey, Virginia.
Hi. My name is Virginia Pradhan, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I'm an attorney, and I like what you said about the fair taxes and everything. My opinion is that what we have right now is not only complicated, but divides people in responsible for taxes and not responsible for taxes. And from our experience, we all experience that if you don't put something into a community or what it's called, you know, our country, you don't feel for it. You don't feel the pain. You don't feel the joy of building something. And I don't believe that it's fair. I believe that no matter how small an amount should be for everybody to make a contribution to taxes, that will make that person part of the community, will make that person even more responsible. How do you see that?
Virginia, you hit on a very good and important point. What you're talking about is pride of ownership, and that's it's vital. It is very important if you want to have a good society. Under fair tax, the fair tax rule, if you spend at or below the poverty level, you end up paying no fair tax. But remember, you are paying excise taxes. You are paying duties and impost taxes that are placed in the product, such as a gas tax and so on. So you're still paying a tax. What it does is gets rid of all the income side, income tax side. Now, I believe in what you're saying, Virginia. And listen, you're hitting on a social issue here, Virginia, which is very important. There's been many, many people talk about. Let me find a quote here from Lincoln. Hell, hang on just a quick second here, because this really tells the whole story. What you're saying, Virginia. This is from Abraham Lincoln. You cannot help the poor by destroying the rich.
Yes.
You cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You cannot bring about prosperity by discouraging thrift. You cannot lift the wage earners by pulling down the wage payers. You cannot further the brotherhood of man by inciting class hatred. You cannot build character and courage by taking away men's initiative and independence. You cannot help men permanently by doing for them what they could and should do for themselves. And that's exactly what you hit, Virginia.
Yeah. I know what you said, that when somebody doesn't pay taxes, goes and buys something, still pays sales taxes. But believe me, I really want to say that person does not feel that much just paying sales taxes. When I agree. You know, you teach somebody to do what is right, and let them have initiative and have part of the contribution to the society, and the self-esteem will be just amazing. But right. that is about the social issue. I have a question for you. I was astonished when. Somebody told me we were talking about taxes and how this year the taxes will be increased and the health care and all those things. And that person is a small business person said to me, no, my taxes will not be increased. And I said, how come? Well, he said, because I decided that this year I will do all my transactions on cash.
Oh.
So
what he's going to do is do his business off the books. That's illegal.
Yes, I know it's illegal.
And you would be amazed at how many hundreds of thousands of people do it.
Okay? That's what that person said to me. And that is discouraging because that will not do good to our economy.
No, right. Our money's going to get worse under these new tax forms, and we're going to see probably a lot of businesses going off the grid because it's the only way they're going to survive.
Yeah,
and,
that's true. Now, if you look at it...
That's one of the reasons that person said, I cannot survive if I don't do that. It was one of those things, please don't tell me those kind of things. I mean, it's not legal, and you know that it's not legal.
And
you know?
And you don't want to know about it, you know, because you don't want to be put in that position.
Yes, absolutely.
Here's a couple of quotes from Barry Goldwater. I don't know if you remember that guy, but he ran for president once. He said, the income tax created more criminals than any other single act of government. Okay?
Yeah.
It's very simple. All right, and he also said this, where is the politician who has not promised to fight to the death for lower taxes, and who has not proceeded to vote for the very spending projects that make tax cuts impossible. The whole point is this. It's easy for politicians to spend more when they have the power to tax more. Fair tax takes that power away from them.
Yeah, but see, one of the things that I believe is... they are wrong. They have a percentage of being wrong by not doing what they promised. But there is a 50% part of wrong on our part. Let me say about myself. You know, you support a politician and you do hard work for that person to be elected. But in the past, what we did after they were elected, we thought that they're going to do what they promised to do. And we forgot to check on them.
That's right. It's
now,
our fault.
Yeah. Now from our mistakes and our past, we can change that, but we can improve the future and present. What we can do is keep focus on them, see how they respond to the situation. And if you don't have it, if you do not, and if they don't do what they promise, just make sure that you have another person to be elected and replace that person. And
yes.
I believe that in many ways we forget that we have the power to do this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Virginia, Yeah, Virginia, thank you. You just led me into my next point. When we started this discussion, I said educate yourself and take action. And
yeah.
The action part is very important. I first encourage you to learn as much as you can about it so that you ground it, and especially read the bill. You know, people will argue with me who from different points of view, and they're entitled to their opinion, but they're not entitled to their own facts. And the way I've found to have an intelligent discussion with folks in a kind way is when they start telling me things that aren't true. I just simply ask them, have you read the bill? Have you read the bill, H.R. 25? And they'll tell me, no, they haven't. And I said, then it's unfair for us to have this discussion because I have. And everything that you're telling me is not in that bill. I suggest that you read that bill first, and then let's have our discussion. And that's what I'm asking you to do, is to read that bill. Okay? It's extremely important for you to at least take a shot at it. Let's face it, folks, it's no great idea of thrill to sit down with and cozy up to a congressional bill.
Right? I have to say that it's more like a joke now that we hear on radio and television that our representatives vote many times without reading the bill. And that is not a joke, because that is a joke on us.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
that's horrible, actually.
And Virginia, when you go to the next town hall meeting with your congressman, I hope you stand up and say, I have read the bill, H.R. 25, the fair tax bill, and I want to know if you've read it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, Virginia, I want to thank you for calling in. And we have another caller we're going to take, so I'm going to put you on to mute. You can continue to listen, and we're going to go and bring in Michael. Hey, Michael.
Well, hey, ladies. Great show tonight. You ladies are doing awesome. I don't really generally like to call in to other hosts' shows, but, man, Dave is really sounding good, and I had a question for him, but following Virginia Proden, my God, this is the lady whose quote is communist and socialists don't believe in God, guns, or gold. I mean, talk about someone who knows a little bit something about what we're going through right now, to have grown up and lived under the rule of Nicolae Ceaușescu. And if I may, Brenda, just real quick, she's going to be on Mind and Being show this Sunday talking about the gun issue. That aside, though, Dave, Mr. Armstrong, my name is Michael. A great conversation. I've been in and out listening, called in, listening a little bit and whatnot. My question to you, sir, is I guess my second favorite thing would be the fair tax. I've always been a consumption tax-based proponent. The reason being is because whereas Virginia was just talking about where people can – and I guess you can do it with the consumption-based tax as well. I guess it probably opens up the door to more black market activity. But tell us, and maybe I missed it already, what is your take on a consumption-based tax as opposed to the fair tax? I mean, and I love the fair tax, don't get me wrong. I think the government needs to quantify what it is constitutionally obligated to have to pay, and then that number divided by the American citizenship in the country. And I don't care if you make a dollar or if you make $100 million, you're going to pay whatever percentage of tax that is, 15, 16, or 17%. Everybody needs to have skin in the game. But I've always been a proponent of the consumption-based tax. Give me more expendable income and let me go out and buy the products, goods, and services. You know, we've got about an 8.25% tax here in Texas. I'd rather pay my sales tax with no state income tax. I'd rather pay my state sales tax and then pay 8.5% or 9%, whatever it is, national tax to for our federal government to operate on. I think an income tax is unconstitutional to begin with. Your thoughts on that, Mr. Armstrong?
All right. Well, Michael, thanks for calling in. And yeah, Virginia is the number one sweetheart to me. She is a doll. First of all, the 16th Amendment made income tax legal, so it's not unconstitutional. But it does go against the original Constitution. And in making the 16th Amendment, ratifying the 16th Amendment, it negated Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4, which was put in there for our protection. Now, the treasurer of the United States, our first one, was Alexander Hamilton. And this is what he said in the papers that followed the Constitution. It says this: there is no method of steering clear of this inconvenience, he's talking about taxes, but by authorizing the national government to raise its own revenue in its own way. Imposts, excises, and in general, all duties upon articles of consumption may be compared to a fluid which will in time find its level with the means of paying them. His last sentence says, the amount to be contributed by each citizen will, in a degree, be at his own option and can be regulated by an attention to his resources. In other words, what he's saying is, the person who's paying the tax is the consumer. And so if he can't afford it, he doesn't pay the tax, he doesn't buy the item. He doesn't have to pay tax. He can just, don't buy the item.
Mm-hmm.
His own Kool-Aid instead of buying some soda pop, whatever. And he's also saying that imposts, excises, in general, all duties upon articles of consumption identifies those as consumption taxes. Fair tax is also a consumption tax. But back in 1787, when they wrote this Constitution, they didn't have barcodes and ATMs and all the convenience that we have now. They had no way of taxing the retailer. So they taxed things that could be controlled. Ports of call, our borders, where products go in and out from foreign countries to foreign countries. It is collected, it is identified, it's taxed. Okay. And points of manufacture within our country, excise taxes, were used as the technology allowed it to be in the late 1700s. And for 125 years, it worked. For 125 years, we had a limited government because they didn't have the money to spend. Again, it's easy for politicians to spend more when they have the power to tax more. And it's been the same old routine in Washington. Let's find a cause, let's inflate it, inflame it, and make it sound like we can't go another day without it. We'll pass it, and then we'll figure out how to pay for it. We can always raise taxes. Well, all that kind of shenanigans will stop with fair tax. Now, you said you'd rather have a consumption tax, and fair tax is a consumption tax. Right? It's a consumption tax at the retail level. The biggest difference between it and the excise and the duties and all those other things is that you see it. It's written on the receipt, and you get a rebate. Any American family, Bill Gates and his wife are entitled to the same $428 that me and my wife are. Now, he'll probably not call in for it, probably won't register for it, just let the government keep it, inconsequential money to them. But everything that he pays, everything that he buys, if he doesn't take the rebate, it's going to be 23% tax that he's going to pay. Okay, well, that's fine. If he wants to live like a hermit, that's his choice. If he wants to live high on the hog and buy yachts every week, that's his choice too. So is mine.
Now, and actually, Dave, with this tax, the more you spend, the more you pay.
That's exactly right.
But it's your choice.
Yeah. Well, with a consumption or with a fair tax?
With a fair.
Fair tax is a consumption tax, Michael.
Okay. All right. I got you. I'm on the same page now. I've never thought of the fair tax as a consumption-based tax. When I think of a fair tax, I think of, okay, we're going to set the tax rate at 15%. It doesn't matter if you make $1 or $1 billion, you're going to pay 15%. So I guess what I thought was a fair tax is incorrect.
Yeah, Mike,
no.
you're confusing a flat tax in there. Now,
okay, all right, you got it.
But again, what a fair tax does is it repeals all taxes on income and replaces it with a national sales tax. That goes on to date that tax, and then it revamps the way that the tax is collected. But if it only did the only first two things, just replace what we got with the national sales tax, that would be a regressive flat tax. The rebate makes this a progressive tax that takes the burden of tax off of the poor and puts it on those who choose to spend a lot of money.
Then that sounds like the kind of tax I enjoy.
Yes, it does, absolutely.
Yeah. I look at a tax, Dave, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I've always heard that, you know, if I make $1, and I like to, I'm a bit of a gambler. I like to play stocks. So I make a dollar, I pay a tax on that dollar. I put it in a savings account, I'm going to pay another tax on it. I invest it, I'm going to pay another tax on it. And when I die, I'm going to pay another. So I'm paying four taxes on $1.
Yep.
Yes, and the fair tax will eliminate that. So real quickly, guys, let me just tell you, you're listening to B&B Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org in partnership with the Traditional American Movement.com. Number to call, 718-305-7176. And Dave, I've still got some callers on the line. I'm just going to go down one by one and see if they have any more questions. But first of all, I have a question. What is the difference between a flat and a fair tax?
Oh, excellent question.
Good question.
A flat tax that they're talking about in Congress is a flat tax income. It's an income tax. Folks, in 1913, the first income tax was assessed, and it was 1% on all income above $3,000 if you are single, or above $4,000 of income if you are married. 1%. Okay, that's a flat tax. All right. By the way, in 1913, the average American household brought in annually $800. So it was not only a flat tax, it was a tax on the rich, which was the intent of it to begin with. And that's how it passed. You just mentioned something, Michael. Let me quote something here from Grover Norquist. He says this: they tax when you earn a dollar. They tax you when you save it. They tax you when you invest it. If you earn a dividend, they tax it again. And if you're stupid enough to die, they steal up to half.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All that is gone on the fair tax.
Awesome. Now, Barbara, did you have any more questions for Dave?
No, I've been sitting here taking notes because I'm, like, totally amazed at what I have just learned tonight.
Isn't it amazing?
I'm really glad you're on our show, Dave, because I have, like, well over a page of notes here, and I am going to go ahead and take your suggestions, the education, and the action, and I have read fairtax.org, and I talk to my husband about it a lot as well, and it definitely looks like the way to go because, you know, even the drug dealers that are getting welfare now, they'll be paying taxes, and, you know, they need to pay their, you know, that it's funny because they keep saying the rich needs to pay their fair share, you know, and we know that nobody else is paying their fair share, you know.
Funny deal because he says everybody needs to pay their fair share, fair shot, all this. He never says fair tax.
Right.
Yeah.
And the upper end's already paying how much? 40%, 50%?
actually, I've heard that they're paying about 60%.
The top 5% are paying the 60% of the taxes in this country, and people want to tax them more. And see, this is what kills business. This is what kills because capital is what people have in their pocket. Capital is what actually creates jobs, and the liberals just do not understand that. They don't understand that concept because, see, they would rather take from you and give it to somebody else. And,
Absolutely.
Dave, I mean, you know, great show, and Brenda, and Barb a great show. I would really like to have you guys on our show, and hopefully we can get you on our show too when we have Herman Caslow that's coming up. So that's going to be a good show.
Michael, I'll have to do it for you.
Co-producer of Atlas Shrugged, and that he's got his DVDs coming out. I just wanted to plug that. I'm sorry, it's a shameless.
That's
plug,
okay.
you can plug in any time.
But I've got one little question. I've got one little question here. Okay, as far as now, when I go to the store, I'm a producer because I make money, and then that's producing. Okay, and then I go to the store and I'm a consumer, and while I'm en route to that store or whatever, I stop and get gas. So I'm consuming gas. I'm doing all these things to get to where I need to be to get what I want. But in the fact remains is that I'm a producer because I actually create something at my own job, you know. So, but the other aspect is that people that are actually getting stuff back from the government are not producers. They are getting our taxes that I'm paying, but they're getting them on entitlements that are going to them to go to the store doing the same exact thing that I'm doing, but they sit there and they can pay their way in by money that I give them. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, exactly how does this make them what I would like to see, I don't want to see poor people having to pay the brunt of the burden, but what I'm wanting to see is everybody have skin in the game. And I'm trying to figure out how are these people going to be caught up in this?
Yeah, Michael, in the interest of time, let me interrupt you with that. Mark Twain is famous for saying, "I'm opposed to millionaires, but it'd be dangerous to offer me the position." Well, it took a while, but you got it. Okay. You know, it's easy for folks in the middle class and upper class and so on to assume that the poor are poor because they are, because of their own choice. And that's not true. And it's also easy to assume that the poor want to stay poor, and that's not true either. Okay. Here's the cold hard facts. The poor are not poor because the rich are rich. The poor are poor because of government. Now, how many unemployment checks are we going to write when unemployment is below 4%? That's what's happened with Fairtex. How many food stamps are going to be issued when people are bringing home 100% of their pay? The government's not taking any money out of their check. And they get a rebate every month. They're going to be cash rich. Okay. How many poor are going to stay poor when they have the opportunity, an open path, to be anything that they want and do what they want? We're going to have a situation in this country where people are just, business owners are going to be dragging kids off the street and say, "Hey, you want a job?" Okay, it's not a joke. This is really what's going to happen. When you open free enterprise and capitalism and you unleash it onto America, it's going to be a very good time for all for many, many decades. So the poor will take care of themselves by becoming middle class and possibly rich. Hopefully they do. Right now, we have a class warfare in this country, and it's purposeful to divide us. Okay, it's their fault, not mine.
Right.
It's his fault.
So nobody takes responsibility.
Yeah, that evil rich person over there, if he goes poor, if he gets more taxes, I feel better. I don't get a dime, but I feel better. Well, that's a bunch of crap.
Right. Okay, guys, hate to interrupt, but real quick, because we're going to run out of time, I must take this next caller. If you want to continue to listen to this conversation, you need to call in at 718-305-7176, because we're going to go overtime tonight. But I need to bring in Chris real quick, because Chris is going to be on tomorrow night, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what's happening on his Catholic Warrior show. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys? This has been a great show tonight.
Oh, thank you.
So tell us what's happening tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow on the Warrior Catholic Show, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm bringing on an awesome guest. Her name is Leah Jacobson, and she is the foundress of the Guiding Star Project. And they are gunning to be Planned Parenthood's rival. That's right. They want to open up women's health centers that are life-affirming and offer other choices other than kill your child. So
awesome.
That is just simply
very
wonderful.
Very good, man.
We need more of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So she's this is her second time that's coming on the show, and she's also going to be talking about the new feminism. I mean, whenever I hear the word feminist, I think of a woman who hates men and everything masculine, while at the same time trying to emulate those qualities. So she has a new vision for feminism, one that is actually feminine. So she's going to tell us all about that tomorrow night, so don't miss it.
Well, great. That sounds like a really, really, really good show. So everybody, tomorrow night at 6 Central, 7 Eastern, that's the Warrior Catholic Show here on conservativenationradio.org. We are going to run overtime, so if you want to call in and finish listening to the conversation, please call in at 718-305-7176. And Chris, did you have any questions for Dave? Oh, Chris just dropped. So, Virginia, did you have any more questions or observations?
I like what David emphasized about the need for every person to become part of tax. And I believe that the tax, the way he explained it, and if more people will be involved, I hope that your radio covers a lot of part of United States. And also, I hope that David has many opportunities to go and talk with people, because, like you said several times, and I'm sure I said to myself several times, I didn't know that, because there are some advantages to the fair tax, and there are some things that will help the economy, and many people don't know about this, and the more people will know, the more they will be exposed to support and to spread the word and make more people part of this fair tax movement. And, you know.
Virginia, thank you for the kind words. I must emphasize, I'm just a messenger. I didn't write this bill. I did was study it. But my message is very simple. Trust but verify. This is why I gave the fairtax.org website, my website, the books, and reading the bill. I emphasize on that because that's the source of truth. Okay? I'm just a guy. I don't get paid to do this. I'm just an activist that enjoys what I'm doing here and spreading the good word. And I know I'm being honest. But I want you to verify that so that you know that it's right.
Yeah. And I hope that all the people that heard you tonight will take advantage and will read the bill, will read the documents and everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Michael,
thank
anything
you,
else from you? Michael? Michael?
Hey, can
go ahead.
Take a moment and talk about the actions. You know,
absolutely.
Once you get your education, you need to take action. And the action should be focused on your congressmen and your senators. You send them an email message or mail them a postcard. A postcard is an excellent thing to get to your congressman. First of all, it doesn't sit in the Washington Post office for 4 to 6 weeks waiting for a dog to sniff it. All right, which happens with letters. It's the original Twitter, because there's only limited space to write what your thoughts are. So you get to the point real quick. All right, and mail them. Now, a letter is probably the best thing that you could send to a congressman or a senator, because they have to take the time to read it. It's not an electronic message. It says, I took time to write this in my own handwriting. It has more value. And that's the way they look at it. And you get responses. I wrote a letter to my congressman and got a letter back from him, handwritten by him as well, not from his staff, but from him. So that's a good thing to do if you want to take the time to do it. Talk with your elected officials. Talk to them at the town hall meetings. Call them on the phone. Okay? Ask to see them and what their schedule is next time they're going to be in town. Make an appointment. And tell them that you want to talk to them about fair tax. 15 minutes. Okay. This is the important thing. Share with fair tax. Share fair tax with your friends. Advertise fair tax in your community. Invite people to speak about fair tax. Okay. I'm in the Indiana area, but we're all over the place. You can find a fair tax speaker just by going to fairtaxnation.com. They can tune you right in to someone in your community that can come and speak about fair tax. Bumper stickers and signs and business windows are great. You know, businesses should be promoting fair tax because it helps them the best. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to a business. Okay? And so they need these signs in their windows and on their trucks and their delivery vans and so on. Hats and T-shirts and so on. Sponsor an event. If you find somebody with who spends a lot of money on politicians, say, hey, why don't you donate a billboard for a year with fair tax on it outside your building, okay, or down the street? And that's a good use of your money because it starts to advertise. And, of course, if you really get excited about fair tax, they accept donations, and nothing really works without money. Somebody said, well, gee, everything will be fine the way we were going. We'll just, you know, go down the road a little bit further. But it's not true. You know, everybody has a cause, and there's all kinds of them out there. Chris has a cause, okay, Warrior Catholics. And I agree with him. And there's cause for abortion and causes about Agenda 21. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on. There's a lot of causes. And if you're working on one, don't stop. Keep doing it. You know, you've got to have something in your life that's greater than yourself to make life worth living. Mine happens to be fair tax. Okay. But here's the question. Can you succeed in your cause if you don't have any money? Probably not. Fair tax gets down to the root cause of the whole problem in our country. You get control of the money, and you can get control of your country again.
Absolutely.
You're taken care of.
Well, Dave, I really want to thank you for joining us tonight because I have learned a lot. And like Bing said, I think he and Michael might like to book you on their show because there's so much we didn't even cover yet. And we're talking to each other, and it will be in our archive show, but those people who are listening in can't hear anymore, so we have about six people on the line. But, Boyd, did you have any questions, or did you just want to listen?
Well, since I was fashionably late, I'm here for the after show. Just figure out what's going on.
Oh, we had a great show about the fair tax. We had what I would consider an expert, Dave Armstrong, and he was filling us in. It's a real good thing, it sounds like, and that we all need to get involved in. So I would suggest you check out the archives and get online and check out the facts and contact your congressman or women, and let's make this thing happen. So. Thank you guys for calling in. Thank you, Dave, so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge with us.
It is my extreme pleasure to be with you, and I would love to come back for Michael or Chris or anyone and come back on a return visit with you as well. It's been enjoyable. My blood's been pumping. Gee, I even broke into a sweat. So excited. So anything I have to talk about fair tax, I'll do it.
Well, and you're working with
the grassroots.
These are grassroots. We are grassroots conservatives, so we actually will be on this. So you came to a good place. Go ahead, Barbara.
Sorry. Your email is accessible, Dave, because I'm just pulling up my calendar.
Yeah. It's,
okay.
Dave Armstrong 63, no dots or spaces.
Okay.
At gmail.com.
Great.
Yeah, when I first got that email address, I was 63 years old, so that's the easiest way for me to remember it. My name.
There you go.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you all. You've been listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org and partnership with the traditionalamericanmovement.com. And we are here. You'll find us here every Tuesday. Thanks again, and good night. Night, all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
thank you.
Good night. Thanks, Dave.